and welcome back to another episode of Mass Monologues. Today, I'm excited to have Adam with me. He is a singer-songwriter musician. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Hello. My name is Adam Wall. Like you said, I'm a musician, singer-songwriter. I write and produce on my own music. I do work with a producer for a chunk of it, but I can do as much as I can on my own. I have six songs on Spotify. And looking to build an audience, grow a community, and see what happens.
That's wonderful. So when did you get into music and how did you start?
Yeah, so that's actually, it's a fun question for me. So I started making music in 2018, but it really began when I was in high school. I had a choir teacher. My mom used to work at the high school I went to, and she was friends with the choir teacher. And my mom can sing, brought that in for pants, so it was kind of long. And when I was in high school, hanging around all the choir kids, my teacher was like, I remember your mom, and she could sing, so I bet you can sing. And she was like, you're going to try out, you're going to do this. And I did. And I'm super grateful that she got me to do that because she got me a chorus and got me singing. And then one of my best friends still to this day was playing guitar when I was getting numb a lot, and things taught me guitar. And then I just took off from there when I went to college in 2017, and I was like, I want to start doing my own thing and make something out of it myself. And it just blossomed from there. And you know, I took a little bit of a break for a couple of years because of COVID. I'm fully invested in it again and really want to see what I can do.
I love that. So it was initially your choir teacher who encouraged you to try out for music, and then you just decided to pursue it from there. How did you go from being in a choir to producing your own music?
It's a great question. I don't know if I have a great answer for that, but I think it just started with when I only did choir my junior and senior year of high school, and I didn't really believe myself or be confident. I wasn't very confident in my singing at all. And the further along I went with it, there was more people that were like, hey, you're doing great. It was positive reinforcement, a lot of encouragement. And I think as I learned how to like getting on your junior, senior year of high school and going into college, I think that transition from high school to college and just combining those skills together at the same time, or just being able to sing and play, made me want to go out and be like, hey, maybe I can play at this place and perform with people. Maybe you can do an open. It was just, it almost felt like it was opportunities I had to take to kind of transition into producing.
Yeah. You know? And I've noticed on your Instagram, you've done live performances before. Is that correct?
Do you mean like going live on Instagram?
No, live performances, like in person.
Yeah, I've done a little bit of it. I did a lot more before COVID, like 2018 to a little bit to 2020. So that's definitely something I want to delve back into again. I just think it's a great way to be out in the community, be out and get some exposure and just work on like a stage presence. I think that's really a big next step for me. I want to work on the next March and months or something like that.
And can I ask, do you record your songs in a home studio or do you go into the studio?
Yeah, I do have a home studio. I'm actually in a cafe right now. I thought it'd be a nice little vibe so I can show you, but yeah, I'm a home studio. I use my Mac I'm on right now. I have some studio monitor, keyboard, guitars, interface, everything. It's a nice little home studio. It's just everything you need. It works.
And do you produce your tracks yourself or do you get help with that?
Yes, I do get help with it. There's a lot I know, but there's also a lot I feel like I don't know. I can get a mix started. I can do a lot of tweaks and edits to actual tracks and sound I want. But then if you say, hey, mix and master this, I don't really know how to do all that. So that's where the help comes in.
Yeah.
And I actually used to, I guess going back to the whole aspect of how you get into producing, one of my best friends from high school, another best friend from high school, was also getting into making music at the same time as me. We grew in that together. He helped me produce a lot of my early songs. And now I'm working with someone different, but that was also another step in my ladder to help me use it.
So your strong suit is mostly the vocals and the songwriting aspect of the musical process?
Yeah, I would say so.
Can you tell me how you go about writing your songs? Do you write lyrics first? Do you start with the melody? Do you go into your DAW and then lay down some chords? How does it work for you?
Honestly, it's a little different every single time. And I found that keeps it more organic feeling if I don't always do the same thing. Sometimes I'll just sit down and pick up my acoustic guitar and just the words and melody just flow out, just writing something in flow. And sometimes I try that and nothing comes to mind. Sometimes I open up Logic, my DAW, and I just put down some tracks. I'm like, yeah, I like the sound of that and just keep working on it from there. But yeah, I like that it's different every time. I think it makes it more fun.
Yeah, I think that as well. When you go into your DAW, do you have chord progressions or little samples lined up for you so you can just play with them? Or do you do anything that optimizes your efficiency?
Yeah, sometimes I'll use samples. And also, for anyone that doesn't know, DAW stands for Digital Audio Workstation. It's just whatever you can use to make music on. Logic's the Apple one. There's Ableton, Apple Studio. There's much options, but just in case. So sometimes I'll use audio samples. It just depends. I usually use samples and pre-made samples whenever I want to add to what I've already done, as opposed to using that as the bass. I just feel like I want the song I'm making to feel authentically like me. And if I use other people's samples, it doesn't feel as much like that. So I like them as more like additive pieces, but I think they're really cool to use.
Yeah, they're nice for layers if you're putting it in the production and you want to enhance a certain section. Can you tell me more about your recording process? You have a home studio, so do you have a microphone set up? And how long does it usually take you to record vocals? Do you have tips and tricks for anybody else who might be recording their own vocals?
Yeah, so the hard part of it is it's the actual space you're in, the actual room you're recording in makes a huge difference to the quality of your recording. So if you're able to get something around your mic or something in the room that can block a lot of acoustics in the room, that'll really help with your recording to begin with. I don't have a ton of that right now in the studio, but as I get a little older and make some more money, I might actually have a studio where I can fully delve into getting acoustics down, getting like an actual boost for that. But someone that's still learning how to record, and even someone like me that's just using the space that I have, it's just, you do a lot of vocal takes. We should do a ton of vocal takes if you're recording. Because you could do 30, and 30 is just, those 30 are not what you need. And you could do another 30, and that could be not what you need. But sometimes that 85th recording isn't the one that you're like, oh my gosh, I finally love that one. So I think that's a really important part of recording vocals, is just doing enough takes to actually get one that you like truly know is going to be the right fit for the melody and what you're working on.
I completely agree with that. I always talk to other music producers or singer-songwriters, and they always say they have 100 takes or 80 takes. But then I talk to my friends who aren't musicians or haven't done anything in music, and they're like, you took 80 takes to do that song. And then terrible. Yeah. I'm like, no, that's actually average.
Yeah, that's pretty normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be a little frustrating too, because you can put it like, you can do all those takes and put it down and then come back to it again. And sometimes it's just still not right. But you know, that's the whole creative process of doing it.
Okay. So. And can you tell me how you evoke emotion in your vocal style or your vocalization? Would you have any tips and tricks for musicians or singers who are at the mic and they're just not getting the feel for the song?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I think so. I just mentioned you really do just have to put it down and come back later. And I think just creating music in general, that's a good thing to be able to do, because in fact, the last song that I just put out, Never Second Guessed It, there was a couple times where I was working on it, got a lot done, and then it just started to feel stagnant. And I was like, I don't even know if I'm getting anywhere. And I just put some stuff there as a placeholder. And then I came back the next day and I was like, oh my God, that placeholder, it was exactly what I needed. Now I can complete doing what I was doing before. But I think just at some point after working on it, just putting it down for a little while or coming back, it resets your ears pretty much and gives you an opportunity to see it in a different way. So I think that's really important.
Okay.
Something else that I've discovered recently that's actually really helping with getting a song completely done.
Mm-hmm.
Because that can be something you can do, is just start up Logic, put down 4 tracks and never touch it again. It's a curse. So what I've been doing recently is just a change. I know I'm sure there's a giant graveyard on my computer of just songs that have 4 tracks and never touched again, but it is what it is. But something I've done is just a change of mindset. I started thinking of my songs as like a school project, because
you set
a deadline, and that really helps, because if there's no deadline, to me, it just feels like there's a vague, sometime I'll finish the song, I'll get around to it eventually, but with a deadline, you guys are forcing yourself to get into it more. And when thinking about it as a school project, it gives me the mindset, all right, if I turn in the song, the project, yeah, it does. And if I let's just say that the project is the song, if I turn in the project, at least I get a grade.
Yeah.
But if I don't turn in the song, then I'll just fail the class. Right. And I don't want to think about it in like a failure way, but at least you're doing something, at least you're getting something on the paper. And that's been really helpful. It just pushed me continuously. I really enjoyed that mindset.
I know a lot of people maybe turn to a friend or family member and ask them to hold them accountable. Like they set a deadline and then they say, hey, mom, can you make sure that I'm done this by this date, or their friend or whoever? Do you ever do that?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because to go back to the last song I just released, Never Second Guessed It, I wrote that about my brother and his now wife. And it was, I was going to play for the first time on their wedding night. So that was like a hard,
hard deadline.
And yeah, I was like, I got to get this done by March 2nd and there's no turning back otherwise. So those kind of things of just like having an event to go to get ready for it, like talking about it frequently with my parents, my brother, as much as I could without giving away a secret. Yeah, those kind of things are really helpful, because just like anything, like having accountability just makes it easier. At least for me, it does. I don't know about everybody else, but accountability is just a big step in helping me fulfill your goal.
And for people who might have not produced a song or created a song before, can you tell me how long it usually takes to create a song from start to finish? And I know it varies, because some songs you can do in about 5 minutes and you're like, I'm done. Or you get the initial idea and you just work on it, and you just crank it out in about 2 days. And then others, it's like, I can't think of anything else. It's not working.
Exactly.
And you're just there
exactly.
hammering down and trying to get it out.
Yeah. I mean, you're actually spot on. Like sometimes it just flows out and you can get 75% of a song done in a couple hours. And then sometimes it's the exact opposite of that. Mm-hmm. I would say on average between me and the producer I work with, just creating the song takes usually like 100 hours of work, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And probably like 100, good 100 hours. Yeah.
Is there a point when you're working on a song and you just can't get down, like you can't get the vocal takes right, or the chords aren't working, the production isn't right? Is there a point where you think I should abandon this and move on to another idea? Or when do you know when that is?
That's a great question. I think there becomes a certain point in the creation process where there shouldn't be any turning back, because what you're doing with a song, creating a song, it's not just making music, it's making an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I think once you hit a certain point of, let's just say you have a verse, a pre-chorus, and a hook, not even good or even completed, but there's something's down,
mm-hmm.
that I think you owe it to yourself at that point to just complete the idea, not even the song, but you had an idea going with that melody you're making. You were going somewhere with that idea. So I think you owe it to yourself to complete that. And that's something I'm still working on. Of course, it's hard to always have that mindset, but I think that's a really helpful mindset to have. Leave it as an idea and just finishing the idea out.
And with this, I want to delve into melody versus lyrics. So I know a lot of people say, you know, lyrics are the heart of the song, but then you also need the melody because it intrigues listeners. It's what keeps them there. Yeah. So when you're talking about, you need to have a good message, you need to have the idea of your song, what would you place more of an emphasis on in your work?
Goodness, that's a banger of a question. So I would say that they're probably equally important. If you actually want to reach people and evoke emotion.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a catchy melody, you can make up for it
with
mediocre lyrics. There's some songs like, what's that? I don't know, the Andy Grammer song. Like, nah, honey, I'm good.
Yes.
That song, like, it's just, you heard it so many times, you can't forget it. Mm-hmm. That was like 12 years ago. So a melody like that or lyrics like that can really help just expand everyone's ability to hear it and enjoy it and continue enjoying it. But I think if you have true, really good lyricism that on top of a good melody,
mm-hmm.
on top of good melodies, I think that's really what takes music to the next level. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, I don't know if you know Noah Kahan, you know who that is?
Yes, I do. I believe I've heard him before. He has
Stick Season. Yeah, the Stick Season guy.
Yes. I recall some of his music. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been a really long time fan of his, and his lyricism is just so good. And along with his melodies and it's just clever writing, I think that's really what makes him special. It's someone I take a lot of inspiration from. So I would say if you're really looking to feel that kind of like inspiration from melody or lyrics, Noah Kahan will be someone really cool to look up and listen to.
And I feel as though good lyricism is just the icing on top of the cake. You need a good foundation. You need the melody. But then if you have that added layer of just captivating lyrics anything that connects with people, then that's what's going to draw listeners in and keep them there.
Exactly. And there's so many songs that someone writes about their own experience, which is, say, like a relative passing away, like you write a song about that. But everyone feels that kind of emotion. Everyone can grapple on to something like that and take their own story out of it. That's what makes that whole music special. You can make something about a topic and other people can have a completely different version or story of how they experience that and still feel the same way. I think that's really special.
Yes. And can you tell me about what genres you write in and what your artist style is?
I would categorize myself as like an indie pop leaning into singer songwriter sometimes. I think it ends up being more poppy than singer songwritery, but I try to do both of those. I try to edge that line. The next song I'm working on is a decent bit more acoustic than a lot of the other ones I've released. So I'm trying, like I said, I'm trying to lean into that, like singer-songwriter aspect a little bit. But definitely either indie pop or indie singer-songwriter, one of those two, I'd say stick with those.
Okay. Have you ever experimented with other genres, or do you just like to stay within those genres?
I think that's my sound. I think that's what I sound is really the reason I've stuck to it and not against other genres necessarily. I just wouldn't think they're for me as much. Sure. I feel like I could lean into a folkier sound eventually, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I feel comfortable where I am right now with it. And like, I'm still figuring out my sound. And yes. That's an important part of it too.
Usually at the beginning of an artist's career, you start off with just one genre, one direction, and then you expand from there. Does that hold true for you?
I think so. And I think part of that is just time passing. You should evolve with music that's coming out. For instance, Coldplay. When Coldplay first started making music more than 20 years ago, they had a much more indie rock kind of sound. And now they've become much more techno poppy. And some people still love it and some people don't. But they've grown with the time that music has changed. And I think that's an important part of being a musician is being adaptable to that kind of stuff. I'd be open to working different genres. I just don't know what that looks like right now.
Yes. So with different genres, I know that artists try and adapt their music to fit the top 10 charts or to even go get that audience reach. Do you try to tailor your music to be that poppy?
I don't want to necessarily say I'm not trying to reach the top of the chart. That'd be awesome. That'd be great. But I also don't want to just sound like everybody else, especially pop music right now. A lot of it sounds pretty similar. I don't want to necessarily fall into that camp. But I also just think whatever I'm creating, whatever comes out of me is just what I need to get out. Like I don't need to force a certain type of sound. I think I just need to create whatever I create should be good enough for me at least.
Yes. No, I understand that if you're trying to replicate what everyone else does on the top charts, and you're not going to stand out. You're not going to be unique. Mm-hmm. But I feel as though that temptation is there for artists to want to sound absolutely like her favorite artist or just want to replicate everything everyone else is doing because they feel as though that's what's attracting the most attention. And can I ask, do you ever try and market your music or how do you go about having your music heard?
Yeah, so that's something I've pretty recently really gotten into with marketing with social media. That's how you found me with Instagram. Mm-hmm. I've been posting a lot there, also on YouTube. And that's been going really well. I guess to kind of preface that first though, before about the last month, I had no idea how to market my music. Mm-hmm. And this could be really helpful for someone that's trying to produce music or release music now. It's just that like in this day and age in 2024, social media is just the best way to get exposure. If you're not taking advantage of that, you're losing it on a big opportunity to grow a community and an audience. Okay. And the biggest way to learn to do that is just by hopping on the platforms and just finding other people in your niche and what you're trying to do. And not necessarily like copying it, but just replicating it in your own way. Because then you have exposure. Then you have people that are actually coming to your music and coming because of you, because they want to see you, not just telling a friend to tell a friend or posting it on your story. It's got to go deeper than that. But yeah, that's been going really well with marketing.
Do you have any tactics to cut through the clutter, how you can define yourself as an artist, especially on social media where you see tons of videos by musicians or singer-songwriters who are posting about their songs or promoting it? Do you have any methods for you that you found have worked to cut through the clutter?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the biggest things I've seen that has really helped is reply to every single comment. It's just when you're a small artist, when we're learning what to do, you should be taking every opportunity in front of you because how else are you going to get out there? Mm-hmm. So I think one thing is looking for opportunities and taking ones that come your way. I also think that you can stand out, or you can stand out from other people just by creating what's authentically you. Just like make your version of what you should put out, not what everyone else is doing. If you're truly worth standing out, you will. And it's okay to take time learning that process. That's part of growing as a human, or even as an artist at all. Just taking time to learn what you can do to improve. Replying to every single comment's been huge. That one's been really helpful, because there's one video I have on YouTube that has 21,000 views now, and there's only, I think, 1,100 likes, and there's 4,000 comments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now at this point, since people are saying, oh my gosh, there's 4,000 comments he's replied to, I should probably sub to him. So it's just created a little bit of a snowball effect.
Yeah.
It's that little thing. I'm spending a lot of time replying to comments. Don't get me wrong. Like, way too much time replying to comments, but it's worth it because it's what I want to be doing.
It's just fun to check out what other people are saying. I've noticed on one of the accounts that I had before, I had the funniest comment, and it was just hilarious to go back and be like, it's hilarious.
I know, right? The community aspect of it's really cool, because I've never had that with my music or just personality in general. And I'm really enjoying that, reading comments, replying to them. And I went live on YouTube for the first time yesterday for an hour, and that was so much fun. It was so much fun. I was terrified to do it, but then I was like, this would be cool. I need to. It was so worth it. Just getting to once again interact with people that actually care about what you're doing. That's so fulfilling. So I think another tip maybe could just be searching for ways to find fulfilling things to enhance your brand, enhance who you are. So that's one way I'm going to start doing it.
Okay. So I'm going to wrap up this episode now. Do you have any social media platforms, website links, or anywhere anybody can reach you at?
Yeah. If you want to search for me on Instagram or YouTube, those are going to be at Adam Wall Music. No space, no caps, just Adam Wall Music. And then if you'd like to look up my music, please just look up Adam Wall. It's AdamWall. Any music platform, Spotify, Apple Music, that's on YouTube, it's on Pandora, everything. So yeah, either Adam Wall Music or just look up Adam Wall on whatever music platform you use.
Okay, thank you so much. And if you enjoyed this episode of Matt's Monologues, then please share it with a friend or family member. Thank you so much. Bye.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.